This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reiberger. And the topic of today's show is a unique topic. It's on uniqueness and how our unique qualities make us uniquely stand out from the crowd, and how they uniquely shape who we are in our behavior, and how they uniquely influence our creative thinking. Unique topic, isn't it? Certainly one that fits the energy of 2014, which is healing on a higher level, because it is your uniqueness that causes you to stand out from the crowd that can be an integral part of how you manifest the reality that you desire, especially in 2014, harnessing the energy that we have available to us. So I thought, my gosh, what a good show to be able to do called Uniquely You. And so what I was thinking about as I was putting this together is that as I talk about uniqueness and uniqueness as it pertains to creativity and our personal expression, I thought, you know, if you don't like your uniqueness or and you don't really embrace it and you don't engage it in what you do, I'm sure hoping that what I share on this show is going to change your perception of that and encourage you to bring that uniqueness forward. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic, also about your health. Oh, by the way, on the topic today, I would absolutely love to share my intuitive skills of how I perceive you and your uniqueness. So if you'd like me to do that, and you'd also like to talk about the topic of uniqueness, and then also if you have a question about your health, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And then also the same number, 877-230-3062. For international callers, just of course dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Well, if you're one of the listeners who live anywhere around the greater Sacramento area, I want to let you know that there's only a couple of days left to sign up for my class on March 22nd in El Dorado Hills, California. The title of the class is Live the Life of Your Dreams, and in this one-day event, I am actually going to be unveiling a manifestation code that we each hold within every cell in our body. Manifestation, this code, is actually a part of our DNA. And I'm going to be talking about how you can not only unveil this manifestation code within you, impacting the way that you think, I'm also going to be sharing how you can use this in a very predictable, sequential, focused way to be able to create what you desire. If you'd like more information on the class or you'd like to register, you can do so online. Just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And on the homepage and the top moving slide banner, click on Live the Life of Your Dreams, and that'll take you to a registration information page. One of the things I'd like to do is to really, as I'm talking about uniqueness and the qualities associated with it, I want to go back to the very beginning and really address the question, who am I? And the reason for this is that the question has been one that has been asked as long as humanity has really graced this earth, and every generation asks it in their own unique way based on the time and the environment and the conditioning of the time, and that all generations seek the same understanding. Why? Because without knowing who we really are, we really lack that inner compass that guides us through our life. And what occurs is that the decisions we make become arbitrary rather than really following the neurology of who we are. Also, even our relationships kind of dangle by a tenuous thread because we, not knowing who we are, then we're not able to bring our full self into relationships. And as a result, we find ourselves entering into relationships, maintaining and trying to sustain them based on what we've learned from our parents, our grandparents, and other people who have had a significant impact on the formation of how we should interact in a relationship and what they should be. So without knowing who you are, then we seem to have difficulty finding that meaning in life, and we find ourselves kind of living what I refer to as this unfulfilled quest to really try to understand our purpose on this earth plane. When it comes to the uniqueness and defining and deciding who we are and defining who we are, there are two defining forces that really shape our identity. One is our desire to be unique and therefore to be different, and then two, our personality. But it's not that personality that reflects conditioning, that we've been so adaptive in the way that we fit in, but it's the personality that's tied to the neurology of who we are, that integral part of us that makes us unique in the first place, because it's the part of us that defines our decision-making process and also influences the way we view problems and how in that viewing of problems, how it impacts the creative aspect of who we are to be able to solve those problems. I've been doing personality work and research for 30 years, and what my research shows is that every one of us seeks to express our uniqueness to some degree and in some unique way, whether it's how we interact with people, how we create our, how we express our creativity, what we do professionally and personally, and even what we do as a hobby. However, I've also found over the course of all the years of working with personality is that not everyone uses that uniqueness in a way that has that extreme desire to stand out from the crowd. The idea of being unique has really been, has a long history in psychology and actually originated in defining uniqueness by really studying its counterpart, conformity. What has been discovered over the years in these different psychological studies is that people who have little need to express their uniqueness tend to find comfort in what's familiar. Their desire is to simply fit in. Whereas people who have a high need for uniqueness have very little desire to be like everyone else, so their behavior really overtly attracts attention to their uniqueness. When I was doing my research around personality, when I first started developing the personality color indicator that I have on my site, www.ritberger.com, that helps you identify your personality color, I did a tremendous amount of research, comparative analysis with other personality assessments, and then I also looked at something called the Fromkin-Snyder scale, which actually measures the uniqueness factor. And what I did is I took the scientific findings and then I applied that and compared it to the research that I have done around personality neurology. And again, this is the personality neurology really refers to those inherent traits, those predictable hardwiring processes within the brain that says that you actually gather information a specific way, you look at problems a specific way, and you make decisions in a specific way. And what I found that individuals who embrace their personality and its uniqueness tend to engage in more creative activities more frequently and are actually more comfortable thinking out of the box. And specifically, they saw themselves as drivers of innovation, and they had the desire to be difference makers, shapeshifters, change masters of the future. The conclusion that I found from this comparison is that personality types who see themselves as unique and who are willing to actually march to a different drummer have more vivid imaginations. They tend to utilize the functionality of the right hemisphere in a more creative way. They're less fearful of the future, and they are actually more risk takers, not only in how they live their lives, but how they manage their money, how they get engaged in activities, and how they engage and define themselves in relationship. What my research has shown is that the determining factor that makes us unique is, as I said, is it really goes into how do we view problems and how do we make decisions. Personalities who are emotional decision makers, meaning that their decisions need to feel right before they can act on them, also tend to approach problems from an emotional perspective. This uniqueness about them and the unique quality of their neurology drives behavior that causes them to want to reach out to other people to bounce off their decisions and then to also get other people's opinions on what they should do. And while this quality is a uniqueness in the fact that it really develops that sociability of who we are, and it really does impact that optimistic attitude that we have toward life, it also tends to lessen the tendency to want to stand out from the crowd and to be able to display their uniqueness. So the tendency of emotional decision makers tends to want to fit in rather than to stand out. It isn't that they want to be like everybody else. They just want to fit in to the system, to the relationships where they don't stand out from the crowd or those relationships in a way that they may be interpreted as being not being agreeable or being sociable. Now, what I've also found, on the other hand, personalities who are logical in their decision-making and who view problems from a non-emotional perspective, specifically meaning that they don't apply emotional judgment to their decision-making, tend to not reach out to people as often or to bounce off their decisions because they really don't believe in their logic and rationale that other people can solve the problem as effectively as they do. Consequently, they tend to be less social, more introverted, more introspective, and while seeing themselves as being optimistic, they are actually less optimistic about life than their counterparts who make decisions based on emotional judgments. They're also less concerned about fitting in, and in most cases actually want to stand out from the crowd rather than being viewed by everyone else. These personalities typically find their uniqueness advantageous and enjoy being seen as mavericks and nonconformist. So when I go in and I look at my personality work, what I do is I really look at the neurology. That's where all of my research is. It isn't about that learned, predictable behavior associated with our desire to interact and to comply and to fit into our environment. I look at that neurology specifically about problem solving, decision making, of course, is a part of that, but also how does a personality color look at problems. So I'm going to talk more about this just to kind of whet your appetite. If you don't know your personality color, then I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And on that moving banner, those slides that I have moving across the homepage, you are going to find a slide that says, what color is your personality? Just click on it and it'll take you through the process of discovering who you are and uncovering the uniqueness of your personality neurology in a way that I hope that you will be able to bring that uniqueness into expression and therefore take control of your life and to be able to attract others who are able to support you. So I'm going to talk more about that, but my lines are full, so let's go in, and I would like to do Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How are you? Good, good. How can I help you, hon?
I have a question about hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 40s, and I don't know, I feel like I'm losing quite a bit of hair, and I just want to know if you can go in and see what's happening, if there's anything I need.
I can, and absolutely, I would love to do that. If I may start, though, by saying that when we get in the age bracket between 40 and 50, both male and female are going to see an increase in the number of hairs they shed on a daily basis. So, and that has to do with hormone changes. It has to do with those natural occurrences that happen when we start the decline of the production of hormones, and that also affects the thyroid that can cause hair loss to occur. So there is a natural tendency in that age bracket, sweetie, that we are going to naturally shed more hair. The way that we look at that is that what the norm is that in shedding hairs is we will shed 15 to 20 hairs a day. If we start finding that we're shedding more, 50 or more, or our hair is coming out in clumps, then we look at it from a real physical process to see if it isn't just a part of this changed, but do we have something that's going on from a hormonal standpoint? Do we have something that's happening with the thyroid? And do we have something that is also being impacted by the immune system? Having said all that, it feels to me that the hair loss increase is, of course, obvious to you because you made the call. But it doesn't feel to me that what we're looking at is that we're looking at a pattern in the hair loss, either tied to female pattern balding or tied to the immune system or tied to the thyroid. It feels to me that what we're looking at is we're really looking at that hormonal change that your body is in. And in females, it actually starts at 38, even though we may not enter perimenopause until 42 to 45, is that what we're looking at is we're actually looking at more of a natural tendency with the hormones. Now, having said that and connecting, you do find that there's an area of your hair, your head, sweetie, that you're shedding more, don't you?
Yeah, like on top.
Exactly, exactly. So so I want to take it, first of all, to tell you that the general tendency is hormones, then that change. But the other part of it is that I would encourage you to go in and to really look at supporting your immune system. First thing I pick up is looking at doing some adrenal support. And that can be done through herbs. It can be done through mindfulness therapy. It can be done through hypnotherapy. It's just about finding time to be able to create the quiet space where you don't feel like you're just always kind of burning your head with ideas, is a metaphor that I get. Or that you're, you know, feeling that you're out of your body because of the distractions. There's a lot of metaphors that I use as a medical intuitive around the crown of the head. So what I would do is I would look and talk to someone, if you would like, about adrenal support, because what that's going to do is it's going to take the pressure off of your immune system. And what that's going to do is it's going to change the inflammatory reaction in your body. What's that mean? That means is that the inflammatory reaction in the body trying to protect you, trying to kind of burn off any foreign invaders that it can't really clearly define, will stop the process of causing inflammation in the hair follicles in the crown of the head, which is called alopecia. And what it will do is that it will support the immune system, calm the adrenals, and then what you'll do is you will find that the type of hair loss that you're experiencing in this specific area will regrow itself. It isn't a permanent thing.
Okay, so I don't really know, like, how to go about, like, is that a special kind of doctor? Is that a homeopath?
Okay,
like,
great question. So usually what we'd be doing is working with something that works wonderful with, you know, hair loss as we're talking about it, is acupuncture. Working with someone who does acupuncture and studies Chinese medicine that can offer you supplements and even tinctures that would help calm the adrenals, and that would also, in doing that, would help support the immune system. You can work with a nutritionist or even go online, and you can do this on your own, looking at foods, Google foods that support the immune system. These are the superfoods. And what we do with the superfoods, if we have a diet that's rich in those superfoods, it gives that oomph, that bolsters the immune system to the point where it doesn't have this chronic inflammation that's occurring. So you can look at it from diet. You can look at it from what I said is hypnotherapy, mindfulness, guided imagery. All of those things are also really important from that physical relaxation, taking the pressure off the adrenals. That'll take the pressure off of the hormones and the production, and then also the thyroid. Now, take it a completely different way. Sweet, you know that you're highly intuitive, correct?
I don't do it for a living or anything, but people tell me that. I don't know if I am or not.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The thing is, let me be kind of add some clarity there. Just because we're intuitive doesn't mean that we have to do it for a living. What that intuition basically says is that as we're looking at situations in our life and we're making decisions. We use our instincts, that intuition, those gut instincts, to help us in the decision making. That's as simple as it is, and we all do it. In your particular case, you really feel to me that you really rely on that intuition as part of the decision making. And if it doesn't feel right, you're going to question the decision. And if it really doesn't feel right, you're not going to do anything with it. The other thing is that with the intuition, as I'm picking up with you, as intuitive as you are, is to find ways to come to understand what intuition means for you and to put a perception on it that you stop putting a cap, putting a lid on it, and realizing that it is part of your uniqueness and it is what helps you in that creativity that you express to be able to create something new and to make a difference. So the metaphor I pick up is, let's not cap down. Let's not put a cap on that creativity. Let's find a way to take that cap off and to allow it to flow to that higher creative part of who you are. So then you can feel like you're making decisions that are in alignment with your uniqueness and who you are. I find often when people start to realize that they're intuitive, not maybe even knowing what it is that it's like we get a hot head on the top of our head. It's like this intuition, this flow of energy is like bubbling there and wanting to come forward. And I find that in the energetics of the body and how it interprets it is that it interprets it that there's something wrong with the hair, the follicles, the scalp. And what it's doing is trying to blow the lid off of it. So that's a metaphor. And where you are is that I would also encourage you to kind of step back, take a deep breath, and ask your body what it needs to be able to stop this hair loss. And if you can stay in a place where your brain doesn't kick in and try to tell you all the reasons why you have the hair loss, but remain open to what you can do to change it, because it is reversible, sweetie. This isn't a permanent female pattern baldness that you have going on. It's a temporary thing based on stress, adrenals, and the immune system and inflammation. And then ask your soul, and it will tell you.
Like my dermatologist about 10 years ago, she put me on these water pills. Mm-hmm. So I've been just taking those. Should I still continue with those or should I just leave them? Or are they doing it good?
Yeah. Well, good question. So let's do this together. So take a deep breath and ask your body, should you remain on the water pills? What's your first answer?
Just got yes.
Okay. So now ask your body if you should stay on the same dosage.
Well, I got yes, but I don't know if that's just me saying it or like.
Good. You know what? There's your intuition. It's questioning it where your brain would say, well, yes, you've been on this dosage for a long time. We don't want to mess with Mother Nature and all the things that are going on. The fact that you got this, I don't know, Carol, if it's just me asking, you know, me saying this. So what I would encourage is that I would encourage you to stay on the water pills. And the reason for that is they are taking pressure off the kidneys and the adrenals, so they're working well for you. They are not part of the what's going on with the hair, by the way. But it may very well be, and here's how you can use your intuition, is take a water pill, hold it in your hand or put it in your pocket. I suggest people hold it in their hand and walk around with it, just in your hand. Doesn't have to be all day, but a short period of time. And then what you will do is you will get this feeling, this sensation, an energetic change, kind of like what acupuncture and acupressure does. If you feel drained of energy or your hand feels weak, then it's telling you that the dosage is too much. Maybe you cut it in half. So you can actually use your physical body and the energetics to answer that question. The primary thing that the water pill is doing is it's helping release the toxins from your body, but it's also helping your lymph system not get as toxic to where you have that swelling that's a natural process of that water retention and the toxin. So it's serving you well, sweetie.
Okay. So when you say adrenal, that means adrenal glands?
Exactly. That's okay. The adrenal glands, those little glands that sit right on the top of the kidneys. Those adrenal glands, if we're under stress, prolonged chronic stress, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, they become fatigued. They don't produce the adrenaline and all the different corticosteroids and the cortisol that they need to in order to help us function. And they become lacking, and then we become more temperamental, we can be more emotional, and we can kind of blow our lids, which is emotional outburst tied to hair loss.
Okay, so doing like a blood test is not really what I need, because my doctor did do like blood work for like hormones and all mm-hmm. that. They came out okay, but that was a while ago. I don't know if I should redo them and just...
No, you shouldn't. I rarely will say that and encourage somebody to that degree. But the reason I did is that nothing has changed. The hormones are bouncing around. Your thyroid is fine. It's still within the range, which is what it showed. And there's no reason for that. But what I would do is approach it more as a psychological thing than I would physically.
Okay.
What can you do to reduce the amount of psychological stress in your life? And that will help your adrenals significantly.
Okay. All right, great.
Thank you. Well, first of all, my love, may I say, you will think about it first, because I can relate to you on that. We'll think about it. And then when it starts feeling like it's building up inside of us, we'll blow our lid, meaning we'll let the creativity out, and then we can move forward. That's just the way you and I roll, sweetie.
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
You are so welcome. What I want to do is my other callers, I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to come right back and talk a little bit more about personality, your uniqueness, that neurology, how it all comes together, and I'm going to take your calls. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
I'm just so eager to get back on the line. I have a very consistent pattern. I get this music. It's like, okay, start. Then it's like, oh, man, not quite yet. Love all of this. So anyway, well, welcome back. The topic of today's show is on uniqueness and how your unique qualities set you apart from everyone else. And what I shared in the first segment is it has a lot to do with a personality and has a lot to do with personality neurology. and using different instruments of personality that's been used, and then also the Fromkin-Snyder scale, I was able to go in and to really start to see how this brain neurology of personality really impacts the uniqueness that we use in looking at problems and then also in decision making. So I've been talking about that, but I also wanted to let you know that if you don't know your personality color, because that's how I teach personality, is I teach it by color. It's a personal thing because my personality doesn't like to be fit into labels and names and letters, even though I love the Myers-Briggs. That was the first instrument I cut my teeth on as far as understanding personality. Love it. But my personality and the uniqueness of it is, don't make me look like everyone different and don't put me in a box. So I created the personality color indicator, and that indicator specifically looks at personality neurology around gathering information, looking at problems, and decision making. And that's all it measures, because in reality, that's the primary function of the brain itself. Even though it would like you to think that it does so much more, it basically evaluates information, uses that information to define and look at problems, and then how to move you into decision making. So on my website, www.ritberger.com, on the homepage, on the moving slide, what color is your personality? Just click on it. It'll take you through a process that will help you define and take the assessment and define your personality color. And then there's just page after page of information, not only on your specific personality color, but how to use that information in interacting with others and how to bring that information and its uniqueness into activities, creative thinking, and into your life to where you can set yourself apart from the crowd. So again, I define it by four different personality colors, and you can just go online and take the assessment. It's a minimal cost of $1.95, and information that I hope will change not only how you see yourself, but will change how you want to express yourself. So let me very briefly go in and talk about the different unique neurology of the personality colors and how it really impacts the decision making and how it creates uniqueness. By teaching it by four colors, red, orange, yellow, green, the red personality is predominantly left hemisphere. That means that information needs to make sense, that it needs to make sense, and that they make decisions logically. What this means is that their uniqueness is their ability to cut through the chase of all of the information coming in, sort it down, narrow it down, put it into a concise compartment of what the information is and how it applies to decision making, and then taking that logical analysis, that rationale, that reasoning analysis, then they can take what makes sense and make decisions very quickly. And their uniqueness is to make decisions without becoming emotionally involved in it, without having to sort through a lot of information to get to point A to point B, and to make decisions that are clear, concise, precise, and that other people can rely on from the standpoint, if you tend to be a decision maker, that you wander all over everywhere, which is not said critical. I'll share that in a moment. But what it is that the red personality and their uniqueness can help you cut to the chase, make the decisions more effectively, still bring forward your uniqueness so you feel good about the decision, and yet find yourself not being caught in that procrastination stage that all of us, all personality colors, can go through. The second personality color is the green, and the green personality is right hemisphere in their thinking. That means that their brain is like a big picture screen, TV screen that has a lot of little pictures within a big picture, and their gift and uniqueness is that their thinking isn't as defined as the red, so it has a randomness. It allows them to look for patterns, to look for all the subtle innuendos, to look for those connections that other people often miss in that processing of information and evaluating problems. So they have a big picture about them. And as a result, once they find the pattern and can find the synchronicity within these different pictures and apply that to the problem and understanding it, then they move into their decision making, which is that the decision needs to feel right. So in the gift that they bring in their uniqueness is that they bring that unique creative ability, that adaptability to change, the flexibility to be able to fit in any situation, and their ability and that uniqueness to really engage in a lot of different activities that really utilizes that right hemisphere thinking process of who they are, that decision making and evaluation of problems. They aren't set in their ways. They don't stick with what's tried and true as the red does in their analysis in that left hemisphere. So what they bring to the table is they bring a myriad of possibilities and ideas that for us to think about. They don't tell us what to do and they don't try to help us make the decision. But what they do is they just basically, their uniqueness is, have you looked at it this way? Do you see that there's other options? That is a great uniqueness. They do march to their own drummer. And the reason that they do is from a neurological statistical standpoint, they are only 6% of the population, not meaning everybody in this world, but what they do is they see things so differently from a personality standpoint with the statistical analysis that I did, that they're a very small number compared to 85% of the red personalities who tend to be that left hemispheric processing. So what occurs is that the green really sees bigger. They use emotions to make decision. They can be a great gift to the red in their uniqueness because the red can be more fitting in, more wanting to come in and be like everyone else in their decision making. And the green is just marching to their own drummer. The third personality color, is the orange. They're very unique. Their uniqueness is that they literally move freely from left to right hemisphere in the brain. So they have the uniqueness of being able to make sense of information that comes in, not only looking at the information from a very tangible, meaning black and white perspective, but they also go to that right brain to go in and make decisions because they feel right. So they bring in the element of gathering information and evaluating problems by looking at the emotional ramifications that this problem is also creating. So they have literally this ability and that uniqueness to go from one side of the brain to the other, make sense, feel right, feels right, makes sense. And so their decision making really engages the brain in a way, and their uniqueness is that they really marry that emotion with that logic in a way that they can be of service to others to help them really look at not only the sense, the big picture, but also what feels right. So they're what I call the bridge personality. They literally can help someone who feels stuck in the decision making, not force themselves into that left hemisphere that this is the only way it can do, and also not be so free in the right hemisphere from the standpoint that they're indecisive. So that orange personality and their uniqueness really helps bring people to that wholeness of their brain, that activity of their brain, to be able to make decisions that are more healthy, more both physically and emotionally, and that can bring people a sense of control over their reality. The last personality color is the yellow, and this personality color is truly, from a neurological standpoint, whole brain thinking, meaning that this personality is neurologically hardwired to work simultaneously, equally right-left hemisphere, frontal lobes gathering information, prefrontal lobes looking at problems from a bigger picture, and then also making decisions logically and then checking if that logic also feels right. So they're bouncing around their brain, and every time a problem identifies itself in a way that their uniqueness is that they can look at the problem simply, but they can also look at the complexities of the problem, and as a result, they are able to offer solutions not only in their own problem-solving process, but helping others look at solutions that are beyond the obvious, that also utilize creative abilities, and also balances the brain in the decision-making between logic and feeling right in a way that they help people in their uniqueness expedite the decision-making process by showing them how they make decisions and then how to best utilize those decisions in order to create the life that they desire. So you can see in the work is that the primary factor of uniqueness is our neurology, and one begets the other. If we're unique in our neurology, then our neurology makes us even more unique. So again, very, very interesting. I could do show after show after show about this neurological hardwiring, but the purpose of today is to discover your uniqueness, to embrace it, to develop it, to engage it in a way that it can help you in the decision-making to where you can be the manifester of the life that you desire. All right, I'd like to jump in right now, and let's go ahead and take Kristen from New York. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Kristen.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi.
You're welcome, honey. How can I help you?
We had talked about, 4 or 5 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I had a C-section, and I'm just being slow. I have a great little baby. He's wonderful. Everything went well, except I'm a little slow to heal.
Right.
And I'm just wondering why. And then I had a UTI, and not to be gross, I'm just going to put it out there. There's still like kind of an odd smell a little
yes.
bit when I go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And then I did another test, and it came back negative, but that was like, I don't know, a month and a half ago, and I kind of think maybe I should go back. I just am wondering, I'm just wondering what you see.
Okay. Well, the first thing is, sweetie, is that the C-section that you had, there were some other things that occurred. They were not errors, but every human body is different. And it feels like when they went in the C-section and the way that they actually opened you up for the baby to come, it feels like it actually went in and cut some muscle tissue at a deeper level. And again, it's not a malpractice thing that we're dealing with. It's just that the human body is different. And in order for this to take place, this is, and the purpose of sharing this is that the reason that you most likely are slower in healing from the C-section is the fact that what occurred is multiple layers down than just how we view a C-section. So that means that you're healing at a deeper muscular level. It also means that in that C-section that there was part of the placenta and the uterus that was also engaged in being able to bring the child forward. And the reason I share this is nothing's wrong. It's just there's different layers of healing that are taking place. And as a result, you're going to stay in that healing mode longer. The other thing is that when we heal at these different layers, the way that the body is designed, it is going to develop scar tissue differently and different types of scar tissue. So one of the things that would generally expedite the healing that you're dealing with is using some aloe cream. You could do some or aloe lotion. You could also do what Edgar Cayce would suggest, some castor oil packs on the area where the C-section is. And if I go into your body, which is kind of woo-woo, but if I go into your body and I'm in your body and you and I are laying down on your back, the area that seems to be slower in healing is on the right-hand side, down lower toward the pubic area, and it's impacting the intestines and the way that they work. The intestines weren't cut or anything, but it's causing those intestines and the muscles associated with them to not move as freely as it needs to. And as a result, it's causing that part of the body and the immune system to believe that something still needs to heal, and maybe something might be wrong, which it isn't, but it's engaging the immune system for a longer period of time. And so as I share that with you, nothing's wrong, but I wanted to bring that forward from the standpoint that's where you would do your aloe lotion. That's where you do your manipulation of the skin, getting down into the muscle structure. If you wanted to go and have massage, that would be a great place to do it. That would be a great place for you to use the castor oil packs. And then what that would do is it would help remove the toxin, which would expedite the healing process. The other thing that occurs is that your body is trying to reset itself from the bacteria, yeast, fungus in the intestine itself. And this also can change the dynamics of the intestine, the small intestine, from the standpoint of candida. So the elimination and the odor that you're getting is not infection.
Really?
First and foremost, it's not infection. We don't have something wrong that your immune system has deemed a true problem. We have a lot of waste byproduct as a result of your body still healing that will change the pH of your body, that will change the yeast overgrowth dynamics, and will actually change the body's ability to eliminate by creating UTIs and then also creating sometimes a fluid mucus that is released that has an odor to it, and then also the urine that has an odor to it. The urine with the odor in it is not a kidney infection. It's just we have bacterial yeast waste in the bladder that needs to be cleansed.
I see.
So okay. Nothing's wrong, sweetie. Your body's doing exactly what it needs to. But the comparison in your brain is that, honey, you're the type of a person with an immune system that you'd scratch yourself and then 2 days later it's gone. This is so different.
So different.
So your brain is in there going, well, if I could heal a scratch in 2 days and it's been this long and it's not healing, then there's got to be something really wrong. The brain messaging says the immune system, I don't know what it is. I think I know where it is. Go find it. And that's exactly what's happening.
Okay.
So, and all of a sudden your kind of psyche soul came in and said, I'm supposed to say to you, nothing was left inside. There are no sponges. Thanks. There's no anything.
Oh my God. That's what I was thinking.
Well, your soul's really good about that. So it's like, well, you need to tell her right now, Carol, no sponges were left. There is no residual. There is no scissors, sutures, anything in there, sweetie. But there are some sutures that were deeper in that process of that opening you up that are still in that healing place, sweetie. So there's nothing wrong. And I mean, I can't tell your brain to not want to go and get some more blood test or some whatever else on it because it's going to run its gamut. But I'm going to say to it, would you just cool your jets? Everything's doing
okay, fine.
And there's some things that you can do. Most important that feels to me, sweetie, is if you could, in fact, go in and actually massage at a deeper level the tissue getting down into the muscle, it's going to save you a lot of future tightness in that area tied to scar tissue. You do tend to build scar tissue quite quickly, and it has a density to it. And what that may mean is that you don't feel like you have that movement in that core area as much. So that does feel very strong to me to do that.
Okay, so I can, yeah.
Breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes.
Breathing is good stuff here, honey. And Oh my gosh, this child is a crystal. And if you don't know anything about the crystals and the indigos, I encourage you about this child. Everything you feel, this child will feel, will amplify. If you're stressed, he's going to be stressed, but he's going to be really stressed to show you, hey, Mom, you're stressed. Wonderful, wonderful gift that you brought into this world for all of us, sweetie.
Oh, thanks, Carol.
Wonderful, wonderful. So anyway, nothing really wrong. Let's just see it healing deeply, getting rid of the toxins, massaging any tension away and any scar tissue buildup or anything. And then some aloe lotion would work really well also. It'll keep it very moist and supple. I actually have a lot of integrative doctors who also suggest using some vitamin E oil on the skin to be able to healing process. But if you're going to do that, I encourage you to talk to someone to be sure that you already, that you don't have a sensitivity to vitamin E or you don't want to get too much of it. So that's the only thing.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks so much, Carol. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. So welcome. Thank you, sweetie. All right. I want to jump on and let's take Carrie real quick. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for calling me. How can I help you?
Oh, Carol, you helped me a couple years ago when I broke my wrist, and I want to thank you so, so very much because the information you gave me really made a huge difference in my healing process, and I just can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you, sweetie. You know, I sit in my office doing this stuff and hope that I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and this is the reward I get. So my heart's smiling. Thank you, love. How can I help you?
I'm calling today because I would like your insight if I'm on the right path with a protocol my doctor has me on for the last 4 months to get my digestive system back in balance. And I'd also like any messages my soul has for me about all of this.
All right. Yes, yes, yes. What you're doing is working on a physical level. It's also working on an emotional level, and it's also working on a psychological level. The fact that your digestive system doesn't feel like it's eating at itself is a huge relief on a psychological and emotional level. So the protocol is working. I'm actually picking up more metabolic activity in the mitochondria of your cell. That means that the cells themselves are getting the nutrients the way they need. The glucose is oxidized the way that it needs. So the cells that are healthy are really getting fortified, and they're kind of restoring the depletion that they had. They're kind of stocking their reserves. So excellent. What it's also doing is the diet is actually starving the cells that are, they're actual healthy cells, but they're not the healthy cells that we would like to be able to have run through the body. Those free radical cells that are either tied to stress or tied to the cells that ultimately could create chronic illness. So what the diet is doing is it's starving those cells. It's also creating a pH balance in your body that was very, very necessary for you to be able to manage the small intestine digestive issues that you're having, some of the malabsorption that you were having and the way you were assimilating. And oh my gosh, your stomach is a happy camper.
Wow. That is so, what a relief.
Yeah. So now I understand because your digestive system goes, but oh, Carol, it's brutal. And it's like, okay, so what's that mean? It's like, well, I would rather have glucose, and I would rather have a whole bunch of the other things that I used to and everything. And my answer to that part of the digestive system is, bear with us, honey. You're going to feel a lot better in a short period of time.
Oh, that's great.
So very good. Now, the most important part is, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to give you a specific time. The first week of November of 2013, something changed in you that you stopped eating at yourself, but more importantly, you stopped holding yourself accountable for not being able to do the things you thought you should, but that you had no control over.
Wow,
it was a huge release work. And it was the first week in November, somewhere around the 6th or 7th. So when you go back into your archives, then what you might want to do is that memory base is look at where you were the first week of November. And my sense is it feels like a release took place. I don't want to say an epiphany, an aha moment, but it feels like there was a release that was taking place that you basically bowed to your soul and said that I will trust you above my thinking. And that was huge, sweetie.
Wow. Well, you know, that was when I was about, 3 weeks in or so, or maybe about a month into this protocol that he has me on, which was total trust because it's quite expensive, and I had to go into quite a bit of trust around it.
Yes. Yes.
But I knew, you know, there was something needed to change.
Exactly, exactly. And what better way to change something than to get rid of what's eating at you and to change the digestive system, because the digestive system really determines not only the health and well-being of the immune system, but also the health and well-being of every cell in our body. And if the cells in our body, in the mitochondria, that energy burning part of the cell, is deprived of what it needs in order to survive, then the immune system, the digestive system, our thinking, everything goes sideways on us. And that's where we need to take a grip, take hold, and do what's needed. So great job, sweetie.
Oh, well, gosh, that is just such a relief to hear, because I'm right at the point, I'm at the end, and now he's going to be, like, kind of deciding where we go from here. So it's like the cost is kind of,
Stay with it, my love. Stay with it. So, all right. Well, I want to thank all of you. I want to leave you with a thought. Embrace your uniqueness. Engage in it. Express it in all that you do. Not only is it going to help you tap into your creativity, it's also going to bring that uniqueness forward to actually enhance the manifestation process. Thanks for joining me. It's been absolutely great. Light and love. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.